have the number one song. That'll be coming up next. I hope you've guessed it. You should have anyway, if you remember anything like I did. I wouldn't have known. I wouldn't have remembered it. But the number one song will be next. But first, here's a friend of mine for many, many, many years, who, of course, you'll be hearing this weekend. He's Charlie Greer. Money Talks, Nobody Walks, and the greatest all-night show in American radio, and all those wonderful sayings. Charlie, it's nice to have you at CBS FM.
It's great to be here. It is great to be here.
And you're looking extremely well.
I know, yes.
They tell me that they tell me that they went to all kind of trouble finding you. I could have told them where to look, but nobody asked me.
If you sold all that land underwater, they'd have a hard time finding you, too. Right, Johnny?
Charlie, it's just a real pleasure seeing you, and it was so great over at the Hard Rock the other night and the party that all of us had. It was just so great seeing you again after all these years.
Well, it's
what have you been up to,
pleasure.
You devil?
I have a little farm in southeastern part of the state of Ohio, and there's an old man down there, 80 years old. When I talked about buying the place down there, he helped me find the place. He kept warning me about all of the copperheads,
yeah,
and the rattlesnakes,
yeah,
how dangerous it was. And I told him, I said, if you would see the street I live on, I said, I can tell you one guy that's been mugged, you know, three times, and another guy that's been mugged two times. And I'm both of those guys.
said, what's the only safe way to leave the house, Charlie?
Well, the only safe way to leave the house is when you're already bleeding.
Charlie, what are you...
you know, I blew their mind on her. This is the truth. This happened last week. I went into the bank and they said I was overdrawn $123.81, so yeah. I wrote them a check for it. And she took it, and then I started out the door and she said, Mr. Greer, I think there's something wrong. You know, I said, I don't think there's anything wrong. I'm overdrawn. I gave you a check for it. She got the manager out. Finally, I said, look, I've got $150 in my savings account. Take it out of that. In reality, I just, you know, I've got almost 170. But,
well, hell, Charlie, that ain't bad.
No, that's not bad.
When are you going to be on the air?
I don't know.
Well, you have my list over there. I thought I was on now. Well, you are.
Swing, Charlie.
Yeah,
from
swing,
midnight
Charlie,
till 6
swing.
In the morning. Do you know that for a while I gave away the Happy Huggy Bear cards? And
The
end I used to say, you, if you don't have one, you won't be entitled. And that was about 21 or 22 years ago. They haven't gotten anything.
They haven't gotten anything yet. I got to tell you, when Joe McCoy introduced Charlie Greer over the Hard Rock the other night, we all had such a great party over there. We introduced him. It must have been 200 people at the same time went, swing, Charlie, swing.
Ron, can I say something about Charlie?
No, Herb.
I got to. I used to, of course, the thing of it is in the morning when you're doing a show day in and day out, you know how it can get a little boring after a while in the studio. So we used to have planned arguments. And the arguments that we used to plan, and Charlie, bless his heart, we'd sit there and at about 6 o'clock in the morning we'd come up with some kind of a subject, and we could not imagine what in the world it could be. Just the most far out thing you could ever see. Charlie, just be ready to open that door, and whang, I'd let that statement out, and Charlie would turn around and say, why you, and when I'd finish that at 10:05, Charlie would still be there arguing the point. What have I ever done without you, Charlie?
I remember Harrison. One guy topped him, though.
Who?
I can't think of this fellow's name, but at any rate, you'll remember, they were talking about Catholicism and what nuns did and what they didn't do. And finally, the guy said, Herb said...
Careful.
On the air.
No, seriously, you know,
it was about
the rules and regulations. And so finally the guy said, well, I know because my sister is a nun. And there was a long pause, and finally he turned to Herb and said, you're upset, aren't you, because you can't say that your sister is two nuns.
Oh, Lord. Harry Harrison said that you were the only person in the world that could do a six-hour, all-night radio show and talk all night on the radio and in between records and never stop talking and tell stories. The only man he ever seen in his life that could go for incredible. 6-7 hours without stop talking.
The most incredible night man.
Storyteller at just the best in the world.
Did you ever work an all-night show?
Oh, yeah, when I first came here for six months.
Yeah, I used to sell motor overhaul and used overalls and everything in the what we call PI, Public Inquiry.
Yeah, well, I sold the New York Herald Tribune. Oh, I don't go back to stuff like that.
But anyhow, that was the toughest job of all. And this guy, 6 hours a night, would grind out. I'd never heard anything like it.
Terrible dancer, but he could grind pretty good.
I'd think that.
Listen, I think there's too many people in here, so I just had one of those garlic pickles.
I had two.
I know. I got
Charlie, your beard just grew there a lot.
Well, Charlie, listen, I've got some good news for you and some better news for New York, because Sunday morning or 12 midnight, you're going to be on. It'll be 12 midnight tonight. And from 12 midnight to 4 o'clock, and they're going to hear the biggest show in American radio, and that's a fact.
I've been listening over at the hotel, $120 a day.
It's gone up a little bit, hasn't it, Charlie?
So I'm afraid to leave the room, you know, at that.
Some things never change.
and I think it's the most wonderful show I've ever heard in my life. I really think it's wonderful.
Well, I tell you, we've had a lot of fun doing it.
I heard Big Dan, and I heard Herb Oscar Anderson, and I really love and admire all you men. I tell you, when I'm back home and I hear you on these commercials, I tell the farmers around there, I know these people, and they say,
Charlie, it's a pleasure talking to you, and I'll be up tonight to hear you, because I want to hear the greatest all-night show on American radio.
All right.
Okay, buddy.
Okay.
Welcome back to New York, and welcome back to CBS FM.
101 CBS FM, where the action is. It's the rock and roll radio
breaks.
Weekend.
Herb, Chuck. Charlie Greer.
Charlie Greer. It's like a cast of thousands here. Charlie. Charlie, I must admit, you're the most clean-shaven guy I ever knew, and now you got this beard down to your chest. You look wonderful. I think you really do.
Well, I'm at Rudy's Nude Dude Ranch, you know. Somebody has to go out for coffee.
It's not that long, Charlie. Although, come to think of it, in your case, it doesn't matter. Wait a minute. Charlie Greer just walked in. He's got a nightshirt on. He's got a tire over his shoulder and a candle in his hand. What are you doing, Charlie? Where are you going? Were you the Fisk boy?
That's right.
That's incredible. You go back even before me. That's wonderful.
I remember the time when we had
Dion DiMucci.
Dion DiMucci on a show at Palisades Amusement Park, and he was trying to break in a pair of contact lenses, and he walked out on stage with both of his hands stretched out in front of him, feeling around.
I know some other people who did that, but it was just because of who they could bump into.
Well, that was in elevators.
Well, where are you going with this nightshirt on?
I'm getting ready for the show tonight, midnight to 4 in the morning.
That's right, you're on from midnight to 4, and I understand at about 1 a.m. you're going to be doing a special on what year?
1963.
Oh, that's
great.
It
was the year my brother stabbed me, I think. No, I'm only kidding. It was my mother.
Okay, Charlie, good to see you. Get some Z's. He's in room 1522. I won't tell you what hotel, but he's looking for action. All right.
On WCBS-FM, guess who just walked in? Charlie Greer. I was with Charlie last night, and it was a most enjoyable evening. I was having breakfast this morning, and Charlie walks in. And, Charlie, you only had, 4 hours last night?
Right, uh-huh.
And you didn't get them all in?
No, I didn't.
What was the story you wanted to tell?
Well, I wanted to tell one that involved you at the Polo Grounds.
Yeah?
Remember when we went there for one of those ridiculous exhibition baseball games?
We always went on ridiculous exhibition baseball.
And I was standing
games.
Under the shower.
Yeah.
And you came in with a fellow that I had never met before, and I thought, I recognize this guy. Mm-hmm. And you introduced him to me. It was Horace McMahon, who was one of the stars of The Naked City, and there he was standing under the shower naked. I'm at the star of The Naked City naked.
Well, you know, Charlie, I was in Naked City quite a bit. I think that was a production called, if my memory is correct, A Baker's Dozen.
Yes.
And I was the juxtaposition. Here was this girl who was getting murdered, and they had me on the radio flashing back and forth, and I was just wailing away as we used to do and having a great time, and as this girl was being done in. And as a matter of fact, being Herbert Anderson, that one particular episode went on for about 6 months. The check going to Herbert Anderson of Dennis the Menace, and it would come back to me, and Dennis the Menace, Herbert Anderson, would get my check. So finally we started to put the O in, and it got straightened out anyhow. I hear you told about Shea Stadium last night.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, the time that they...
But you didn't tell the punchline, Charlie.
Tell the punchline.
No, you tell it. You tell it better than I do. Anyhow, we went out to Shea Stadium, this big affair, and the Jets, we had just taken on the Jets, and they were brand new, by the way, and Howard Cosell and Sonny Werblin, and I remember we were standing at a bar, and Howard was talking to Sonny, and Sonny said, well, I went out, and I believe he paid $400,000 for Joe Namath, as I remember.
Right. That's exactly
And so we went out, and all at once everybody realized we were going to be the halftime show. And my instructions were to go out to first base, and it was a clothing manufacturer that was our sponsor. And things were going along, I thought, quite well, didn't you, when we first started?
Oh, yeah, and we had and they talked about the cars we were in.
Yeah, yeah, we got a good smattering of applause.
Yeah.
And hi, Herb, and everybody. You followed me, as I remember.
Right.
But anyhow, I get out to first base, and about 3 or 4 minutes, people were beginning to realize we were the halftime show.
Instead of the girls, you know, with the pretty legs.
That's right, and the marching bands.
Yeah.
So, you know why they don't sell beer bottles in any of the stadiums is because they started to wad up these paper containers. And Chrysler was a sponsor.
Yeah.
And we were just surrounded with this bevy of beauties in the car. And all at once they started to throw these paper containers. Well, by the time we got out of the stadium, the cars were absolutely level. They were full. And with all the old coffee, stale beer, it was the biggest mess you've ever seen. We go out, and there's absolutely nothing that can be said about it except the promotion man. He walks up, and he says to the vice president of Chrysler, I think it went well, don't you? If I could have caught him, I would have killed him. On CBS FM, everybody's here, and everybody's going to be with us.